Hey, I wanted to give you a warning and a disclaimer in the podcast that you're about to hear. Sherry and I have an amazing conversation about her life and the ups and the downs and how she is positively walking into her future, but we do touch on mental illness and specifically suicide inside of this issue. So if this is not something that you want to listen to, if this is a trigger for you, then please skip this podcast and move on to the next one. How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organized 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organized 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized.
Well, Sherry, I'm super excited to have you on the podcast. We have talked in person so many times. You were part of All Access Platinum. So we did the virtual organizing calls. You've been to Embrace. You're a certified organizer. You're a retreat trained certified organizer. We started almost 10 minutes ago. We've just been talking. I'm like, we've got to hit record so that other people can meet you. Otherwise, we'll just talk for hours. Sherry, welcome to the Organized 365 podcast.
Thank you so much. I am a huge fan of your podcast, and I've listened to every episode. I have just always listened to it. I love the transformations, the throwbacks, the Fridays. Now I'm even listening to the YouTubes for the book recommendations, and you're just so much fun. And then getting to know you in person, it's just really a privilege and a blessing to be able to do this. So thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I thought it was interesting what you mentioned before we started recording when you said you love listening to the Wednesday podcast because now you know some of the people who are on as a guest.
Yes, I met several of the people at Embrace, and some of us have become certified organizers. So if you're even just thinking about going to Embrace and you don't know anyone, even if you're introverted or shy, I was pretty shy when I went last year. I met so many people, and several of us are going back, and One of the friends, we're sharing a hotel room and cutting expenses and renting a car together. And we're going to do Cincinnati one of the days. And some of the organizers I've become good friends with, they visited Arizona. So if you're thinking about it, these are like-minded people. If you listen to the podcast, you would love Embrace. I promise.
How did you originally find Organize 365?
Well, I've been a teacher for many years, and I was teaching, I think it was back in, I don't know, it was before it was into a program where you could access it by video. I think it was like through Facebook and emails.
Okay.
And my son was, he had contracted an illness while I was teaching. And I had to start rethinking my profession. And one of the things I looked at was becoming a professional organizer. And I joined your professional organizers think tank. And I just kind of listened and lurked and watched for a while and then realized maybe this is something I can do. But also because my son was ill and I was teaching full time, I was putting all my energy into other people, and I needed to make sure that my home didn't get lost in the process.
Yep.
And that's where what you did worked great. Because you're a teacher, you taught in styles that related to me, and I just loved it. So there was a video that would connect to the email, and it would explain, and you broke it down in chunks just like I would do for my students, and I loved that concept, and it really helped me be successful with the program.
So tell us, who does live in your home with you?
Right now, I have my 22-year-old who is a senior at ASU. He's living with me for this year. My youngest lives with me a few weeks out of the year. He's a freshman at ASU, but lives on campus and tours in the summer with a drum corps. So he's not here very often, but he has a reserved spot. So it's just me and my two boys, and I have a puppy, Finnegan, who is the best. He's a year and a half, and he's just full of energy and happiness.
And for those of you, ASU, is that Arizona State University?
Oh, yes. I forget that it goes to everybody. So it's Arizona State University in Tempe, Arizona.
And that's where you live as well, right?
Correct. I live in Chandler, Arizona, and I've been in Arizona since 1988. So I love this state. It's beautiful.
Yes. So I am looking outside at the dark gray clouds and rain and like 35 degrees in Ohio. And Sherry moves her camera and she shows me bright sun in Arizona. I'm like, all righty then.
I'm sorry. Moving on.
My grandparents had a place there. It's gorgeous.
It is such a beautiful state. And, you know, it's a great place to visit too. So
fun to hear from people all over the United States and really all over the world who are connected through, you know, just a podcast. It is amazing how like our best friends are in different time zones now.
Oh my gosh. Right. And it's funny because I set my world clock on my phone so I could know what everybody's time zones are when I'm talking to them. So I don't call them too early or call them too late. So it is fun. The podcast has connected a lot of people.
I set the weather app. So like, I know what the weather is like where my friends are.
Smart.
So like, I have someone I talk to every day in England. Our Facebook ads person is in Australia. Like, so I'm constantly, there's always someone I can vox and talk to 24/7 now, depending on when they're asleep. And most of my friends don't sleep very much. So that's nice too.
Right?
Okay. So when did you decide to get organized? Like, I know that you were looking into being a professional organizer. Did you just approach Organize 365 from being a professional organizer or also from the aspect of needing to get organized yourself?
I needed some organization myself. When my son was ill, I had a lot of medical files to sort through. And then because he was missing school for several years, I ended up having to sort of take on the try to find the connections for homeschool. I was blessed that he was able to do a lot of it himself, but I needed resources. So teaching full time at the same time, that was all necessary. But I was generally an organized person, but even if you're organized, this program is so helpful because it's kind of an add water and it takes out that decision fatigue. I know you've talked about that on your podcast. So for me, what it is, I was naturally organized for the most part, but it helped me take multiple sections of my life and get them organized and see them as chunks. Like this medical thing is going to need attention for X amount of hours. Teaching needs attention for this many hours. And then in the process of finding you, I had a car accident while I was caring for my son and it caused a brain aneurysm. And I ended up having to pause everything at that time. It was at that time, life-threatening. They weren't able to find a solution at first. But through many prayers and blessings, I was connected to a place that was able to do an experimental procedure. And I am here today because of that. That being said, I had already found you, which was awesome. And your system was in place. My brain was broken after the brain surgery. And it just really helped me continue to be successful and get back on my feet. If you have any kind of like brain injury or learning disability, this program works great because it's written, it's visual, it's auditory. So you've got so many different ways you demonstrate what's going on. So my brain was literally, how do I tie my shoes again? But I could look at my silverware drawer and go, okay, my silverware's done. And because the system was already in place, I kind of had the memory muscles to be able to go in and to be able to do that. So I was just so grateful to have something in place that I didn't have to come up with the plan. And also we were able to follow it as a family. Like my boys or my husband were able to grab the medical binder and take it with them to the doctor's office. And that was all in there. The binder wasn't in existence, but you had provided a lot of printables at that time that were so helpful. So that's how I sort of found
how old were the boys then when you had the aneurysm?
So my youngest was, he would have been 11 and my oldest would have been 14 or 15 because he had just gotten his learner's permit.
Yeah. So this is way back.
Yeah. So it was way back and, it was this really difficult time and, your stuff just helped me. At that point, I didn't even know that you were podcasting. And then I was like, I'm just going to listen to Lisa and let it sink into my brain. And it did. And it was just very, very helpful. It was awesome.
So I love this story because you were somebody who was organized when you found Organize 365. Yes. But we're going to talk about a couple of really big life events that you've had that you're very open in sharing, which I think are going to minister to a lot of people about how these events that have happened to you over the last 7 years have really caused a bunch of disorganization and a lot of mental and emotional I mean, a lot, like when we get into people. So let's deal with the aneurysm first. So in order to have that process, did you officially have a stroke?
I had the procedure, and the procedure was 5.5 hours. And during the procedure, mm-hmm. I had a significant left frontal brain stroke during the procedure. Mm-hmm. And then, so inside my brain, I have 16 inches of coil to fill the aneurysm balloon, and then two stents that are connected together, because they didn't even make a stent at that time that was big enough for the aneurysm. And it was on what's called a tortuous curve, and it was in the middle of my brain. So when they did the procedure and inserted the stents, I have a permanent diminished blood flow on the left side of the brain. So that then caused a subsequent stroke again in 2017 in September. So the second stroke was actually worse than the first one. So the first one was massive, but I was already in brain surgery recovery. So they had things in place. I had actually returned to teaching for 2 years and was having great success. And then something sort of started going wrong. And that's when they realized there was diminished blood flow. I don't know if that makes sense, but hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah. So my mother-in-law's sister passed away of an aneurysm. And went in to be checked, and she did have an aneurysm.
Yeah.
So she did a preventative surgery to clip off the aneurysm, mm-hmm. you know, like preventatively. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, they clipped her vessel, not the aneurysm, and gave her a stroke.
Oh.
And it was as she was recovering, they realized what had happened like hours later, and then went in and reclipped. And so she did have a stroke. So then she didn't die of an aneurysm, but she had a stroke. Right. So I am familiar with, you know, she was able to talk, but like she used to love to read. She doesn't read anymore. She doesn't do a lot of writing. She was obviously older than you. And walking was not a problem. Like the physical mobility wasn't as much of a problem as much as it is the thinking and recalling words and things like that. Mm-hmm. We noticed, and we had done some research that shows like 5 years after a stroke, there is a significant regeneration, or, you know, a lot of skills come back after 5 years that just like, they like come back. Like, it's amazing.
Right. Right. One of the things what happens when you have any kind of significant brain injury, it's kind of like if you went to a filing cabinet. Now, we don't use filing cabinets because we do binders, but let's pretend. You have a filing cabinet. It's like you open the drawer. You mm-hmm. know that the file is in the drawer, but you can't figure out which file. You pull the file out and you think that's the file, and everybody looks at you and goes, huh? And then you realize, I don't have the right file. So I had no problems with receptive language. I had challenges with expressive languages after mm-hmm. the 2017 stroke. And I've since done neuro rehab for that, and that's helped tremendously. But having systems like this in place is so helpful, because if the label's there and it says waiting for it, and you know you're waiting for it, you can literally stick it in the pocket. Or mm-hmm. if you have something for taxes, you can literally stick it in the pocket. And it's open versus stuck in your cabinet, where sometimes with a brain injury, like just even leaning over a filing cabinet is challenging. Mm-hmm. And so just to have it out in a desk mode or in binder mode where you can lay it out and read it is just, it's amazing. It's very helpful.
Now, do you mind diving into, for the boys who were like middle school age and your husband, you know, when this happened, how, like what responsibilities went on to them? How were they able to find information? And then how long was it before you were able to take back some of those responsibilities from them?
Okay. So my husband was awesome. He and I were great partners always. We kind of had like I do the inside of the house and like mm-hmm. the detail paperwork, and you do the outside of the house and the big stuff. And we had this great partnership for, we were married for 26 years. Mm-hmm. And basically, he was great. He was very detailed individual, so it worked great. So I had a household binder. This is before we had the other binders, and it had like all the bills and the information separated by tabs. So he was able to sort of pick up those kinds of things. The medical binders were ready for the kids. And he saw the kinds of notes I took when I went to doctor's office with my son when he was ill. So he knew the types of things to do. So he advocated for me a lot when I was going through brain surgeries and not able to ask the questions. Mm-hmm. My boys picked up a lot of slack around the house. Like, they did a lot of housework and help. in the process, my son got his driver's license, so he was happy to help, you know, so he would be happy to go to the grocery store or do those kinds of things. So, but having everything in a place, we had a shelf in our kitchen in our old house that had all of the pieces there that you could figure everything out. And in our cabinets, I had like individual sleeves with the kids that had like passports or birth certificates. And yep. So anytime that was needed, we had it. So that was thankfully in place. And, I think that that was really helpful in the crisis. And, while we didn't have every single document we always needed, we had really important ones. And, if you're kind of going, if anyone's going through a crisis, that's listening to the podcast, like, if you don't have it together, it's still going to be okay. It will be, but it's just a little bit harder. But if you're not in a crisis and you just set some small goals, like if you know that you have somebody in your family that has a medical situation, you know, just taking the time to get that in order just for that one person, if you're going, and if you're the main person in the house, making sure that your general thoughts are down so they know how the household runs is really helpful if you can do that. But if you can't, it always works out. It's just hard.
Yeah, it's just harder.
It's just so hard.
I love that your husband was able to look at the boys' binders and know the questions that you asked when you went into the doctor. Yeah. So he could keep doing that until you could come back and do that again. And he started to ask those kinds of questions for you. That's what Greg and the kids joke that if anything happens to me, like, you know, the ship is going down. In my binder, same thing. Like you see all the questions I have all the notes. Not as many maybe as I should, but just even like, Greg and I don't have medical binders because we don't have medical issues, but we have a medical one sheet because I'm allergic to codeine and I'm allergic to penicillin. Now I'm not going
to
die,
super important to know. Yeah.
But I will throw up every half hour on the half hour if you give that to me, and I would prefer that you not. Thank you very much.
That would be nice not to do that. Yeah.
I mean, it's not life threatening, but I will break out in hives with penicillin and I will throw up every half hour with codeine. I would prefer not to have either of those on top of whatever ailment we are dealing with. But the kids do definitely have binders because they have significant medical and educational issues. And so while Greg says the ship would go down, he really could read the binder, at least hand it to somebody else who's going to know how to read the binder.
Absolutely. And and just even the school stuff, you know, because I was the teacher, I always took care of the stuff with school for the kids. And Kevin had to go to some conferences and he was like, I don't really know what I'm doing. So I would say, here's what you can ask. And he would go back and look and he'd go, okay, I could do this. So he goes, it's just a little overwhelming because you've always handled that. But, you know, like you said, you know, my boys didn't have IEPs or anything like that, but they definitely, I had a binder where I kept like, you know, their testing scores and their report cards, missing assignments if they had one, or, you know, so he was able to kind of go in. I taught him in the binder, I had printed out the directions of how to access the parent portal. So he set himself up an account to do that. And he handled it just fine. So,
So you're mentioning this awesome husband that you have, that you love. And yet when you said the people who live in your home with you, you did not mention him.
Yes. We lost my sweet Kevin on July 20th of 2018. So my husband passed away unexpectedly. He was struggling with mental illness and he took his life, and it was incredibly, incredibly traumatic, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We were lost and devastated. This was a man that everybody loved, and it was heartbreaking. So we have spent the last year and a half changing gears. My youngest was a senior in high school. It happened 2 days before his senior year started. My oldest moved home because he had passed right after my stroke, so I needed a lot of help at home still. So my oldest moved home and commuted to school. So we had major, major life changes. It was really, really hard. It was challenging for sure. I was blessed to be with him for 26 years. He was a wonderful man. He just was not well. And he did not survive his mental illness.
And Sherry, I'm so sorry. I mean, I just feel so much. I know this story because I know you and we've talked through this. I think in some ways you are exactly everything people fear. Like they fear losing their spouse. They fear being incapacitated where they can't take care of their family. And both of those things have happened to you.
Right.
And yet along the way, your positivity is amazing to me.
Thank you.
And your attitude.
Oh, thank you. I was raised with a big faith, a really, really big faith. And what I believe is that God brings people into our life as they're supposed to be. And while many people, you know, they question their faith when they're going through things, like how could these things happen? Sometimes things happen. Sometimes people are mentally ill or they get cancer or, you know, just tragic things or brain surgery or brain aneurysms or your child becomes ill and you travel out of state. All of those things have happened. But, you know, I've been blessed to be surrounded with amazing people, loving people. And, you know, I consider you one of them. Like you're kind of like a cheerleader and a mentor. And even people that don't know you feel that way about you just because of how you share what you do. And what I do want to say is if you are going through that, if you are either mentally ill or if you are married or living with someone who's mentally ill, there is support out there. There is hope. It feels sometimes like there isn't, but there is support and hope out there. You will have good days and bad days, and eventually the good days outnumber the bad days, but you might have a really long stretch of a lot of bad days in a row. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to not do a lot of stuff. It's okay not to be getting everything done because somehow the important things do get done.
Right.
And everything is, when you look at it, like you can look at it, like at least I'm still here. Mm-hmm. And I just, even though maybe your spouse or your loved one's not here, your children are here and it's hard, but, you know, I definitely attest to my faith and I definitely attest to the beautiful people. I'd like to share something special that happened with your company when my husband passed.
Oh, sure.
I don't even know if you know this, but so I was supposed to come to, I was going to go to a Sunday basket certification. It was before you did all paper. Yeah. And I sent an email saying, I am so sad, but my husband's passed away and this is going to have to go on pause. Like, I don't even know. And I got an email from Emily. I got an email from Pat. I got an email from Janet and I got a stamped, beautiful hand stamped card. I think was from Pat.
It is from Pat.
And it came in the mail and it just had the most sincere message. And I hadn't met them yet. I'd only talked with you. But you know, your packages from Organize 365 come with the little card and it's so beautifully wrapped. It has a little packed by Pat or Janet or whomever. And I don't know. I sat there for a second and I was like, it kind of like stood out at this moment. Like, here are these people that I don't really know, but I feel like I know. And wow, they did not have to do that. Like it was a simple thing. And it didn't feel like a business thing. It felt like it was sincere. Then you and I had a Zoom and you said, you know what, Sherry, come to Embrace. Let us love on you. And that is exactly what happened. Like just, and it was like, it wasn't even just you. It was like, the women there, it's like the energy that came from the room. It just, everybody just was so uplifted and encouraged. And it helped me turn the corner in my grief. And that was not why I went. That was not why I went. I was like, I need to do this. I need to travel somewhere by myself. I went everywhere with my husband. We were like always together. So it was the first trip I took without my husband. And I could not have taken a better step. And then I ended up just loving it so much and then just totally enveloping. So I just want to thank the ladies that work there. And then I got to know all your women and you hire beautiful people. I mean, inside and out, you hire beautiful people and it's indicative of who you are. And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful.
Yeah. I can't take any credit. It is the social, you know, it is the team. Like they're so amazing. Invested. I mean, our company is growing. Like we keep adding employees and we are growing, but we aren't huge. Like we do still know all the orders that come through. We recognize repeat orders. We know all of the certified organizers. Like pretty much if you're in All Access, we know your name. Like the team knows who you are. We read the social media. I don't read it as much as they do. And so they do stuff like that. They just do stuff like that.
I think what people love is that you're authentic and transparent, and it creates this safety and in this community where people feel like they can go onto Facebook or whatever, that they can share what's going on. And I know that I always feel best when people are authentic and transparent, because that allows me to feel also safe to do the same. And, you know, I have some big stuff that's happened in my life, but I never felt unsafe sharing that with anybody at Embrace or anybody in your company. And they did nothing but be authentic right back and just sincere. So I know that what you do helps a lot of people, and I'm excited for all that you're doing and that it's just expanding, because I know you're just going to help so many people, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, I would say I am overwhelmed at Embrace with the heaviness of the people, the things people are carrying. Like,
it's heavy.
My life is very blessed. I really do not feel like I've had very much tragedy. I mean, I've had it, but I don't feel like my tragedy is equal to the tragedies that come in to Embrace. The people who've just lost their spouse, that have lost their child, that have lost their mom, that, you know, that have just gotten divorced or are going to get divorced, or, I mean, that just, it amazes me the open wounds that walk into Embrace and how everybody is able to just kind of gently love on them without any expectations or prying, but just available to listen. There's a lot of listening that happens.
There is. And I'm so excited to go this year. I feel like I'm going to really be able to give back and, you know, be able, I won't be the person that comes in that's just weeping, because I wasn't a weeper before all of this happened, or at least I didn't think I was. But I've wept most of it out over the last year and a half. And there's this verse in the Bible that says, and I'm sorry for that, I'm not like trying to be overly Bible-y, but there, and it says that God's mercies are new every morning. And I just feel like that is finally the case, like after all this time. So I'm grateful to come back to do Embrace, to be able to just be a thankful to all those people, like to hug them and say, thank you for helping me last year. Like, thank you for talking to me. Thank you for just loving me and being so good to me. And I hope that maybe I'll have an opportunity to give back in that way. So
I love that.
I didn't mean for it to like talk about
well,
it.
Like, no, it I love it because
it's a powerful moment at that time.
You know, when you have an event, you're supposed to have like an event page and a sales page. And I don't know how to explain Embrace. I mean, obviously I have a curriculum I go through, and basically it's really about your role inside of your home and what that looks like for you and how much of that has been influenced on the media or your parents or your friends, and how much of it is truly your authentic you and how you want your home to be, or how much is it what you've seen on Pinterest. And it can be whatever you want, but I make you take a look at it in a different way. So you choose everything that you're doing going forward versus just reacting and doing things the way it's always been. And along the way, you know, you have to kind of look at you and what do you want and what does your family want? So with that said, I'm totally going off script because I know you. You in the last year and a half have really made some big changes in your physical home.
Yes.
Would you mind sharing what you did after that loss for you and the boys?
Yes. So we lived on an acre. My husband grew up in Brooklyn, like on top of people. So he was like, I want a house that I can't reach inside the window and grab the salt and pepper shaker of my neighbor. I want land and space. I want my boys to grow up on a piece of land. So we, and he was a contractor for construction. So we designed and built our own home many, many years ago, like 20 some odd years ago. And it was a great home for the four of us, but it was not something that I could maintain physically. And it was just, it was a huge house. And when the two of us did everything, it was one thing, but I obviously had those health challenges as well. And then of course him passing. So we sold that house, bought a new house, handled the move. I did take your fabulous idea to put some things in storage. We took some sentimental things that we were not prepared to deal with, and we put them in a safe storage space. That way we kind of set the home up and we, you know, we'll know what we need down the road. And then, when I was at Embrace last year, I decided to, first I decided I was just going to be a Sunday basket workshop certified organizer. Then I became an all certified paper organizer. And then I came for the retreat training. And now I'm actually going to be hosting my own retreat. So I have taken this and run. In fact, when I went to Embrace, I didn't go for the purpose of what do I want to do with myself? But that's what the work, what some of the work was. And it helped me envision a different life for myself and a start. It was a starting point. So it gave me a lot of opportunities, but we did sell a house, move into a new house, establish a new house, opened my business, and just continued like the neuro rehab recovery for the stroke. So it was a busy, year and a half. So.
But when you found that new home for you and the boys, because they were in college and getting ready to go to college.
Yes.
I just thought it was really amazing how you incorporated them in the process and you found that house together. And I just thought it was really cool how you went about it.
Yes. Well, we had been looking, you know, to try to figure out where to go. And there was this community that was only like 3 or 4 miles from my old house. We'd driven past it a million times. I don't know how we never saw it. And then we pulled into the community and my son said, let's just run in there. And it was mostly built out except for one street. So we didn't really think that it was going to be a possibility. And the house that we walked into was, we walked in and went, wow, this is exactly what we're looking for. But we just didn't think it was going to be doable at all. And so I had purchased a different house in the community. And then my sons went back and talked to the lady that was running the community and said, we want this one for, we want my mom to live here. We want her to have a completely fresh start. It has like, so in Arizona, we have fake grass.
Yes.
So, because in the desert, they don't really want you doing that. So we have like, it looks awesome and the dog loves it, but it's like, you know, in our old house, we had an acre of real grass that was forever to maintain. But here, this house had fake grass. It already had the plants and this house was already furnished. So my boys, talked to the lady and it turned out their buyer fell through on the house and they let me do a swap. And so we started over fresh together and, they helped with everything. Like we just, we knew that we were going to be in this space for a while and we wanted it to be welcoming and we wanted it to be positive. And, it was an experience I wasn't expecting, but it helped us look at something positive in spite of a lot of the things that were not going positively in our life at that time. So it was something positive that came out of it.
Yeah. And it's so hard when you lose someone significant in a house that you have created together to choose to move into a new location. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that for those of you that are listening that are in similar circumstances, you hear how much Sherry loves her husband.
They had a great
marriage and she loves every bit of that. Yet she is choosing a new future with the boys and they have embraced that as well. And that's super hard to do. It's super hard to do in reality.
It is. And you know, they recommend that you don't move for the first year,
but
financially and physically we needed to move out of that space.
Right.
I recently found out it made my heart so happy. I recently found out some of our mail was going there and it was something important. It shouldn't have still been going there, but the people called me and I went over and because we had that big backyard, they had Great Danes. Yeah. And he said, our Great Danes love this house. And that was a relief because I was like, what's going to happen to the house that, you know, that I've raised my children in? But you know what? We gave it a new life. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, We Bought a Zoo.
No, but maybe I should since I live in one.
I didn't know what it was. And I watched it. It's a movie and the man is widowed maybe he's younger than I am, but he's widowed. And they left their house and they're going through their things. And the little girl says, we need to give it a new life. And it just kind of like spoke to me, like, this house is so great. It's going to be awesome for someone, but it's too much for me. And my boys are going to be out, you know, very soon. So we needed to move smaller. And they were so supportive. My boys are very strong, resilient young men and they really helped. And so if you're in that spot where you have a loss and they tell you like, don't move for the first year, but sometimes financially, that's not a possibility right. to stay where you are. I would say you're going to panic because you're going to feel it. Cause you, and as you're packing those boxes, you're, I don't know. It's like, you feel like you're saying goodbye or getting rid of pieces. But, what we did was we chose a few things that were really special. My husband was a musician. So we have his, acoustic guitar in the family room and people come over and play it. And it's this really neat way to sort of stay connected in that way. And we have some other things that he had, like just some small things around the house of him. So it doesn't feel like he's completely erased, because that's kind of what it feels like yeah. when you leave that home.
Right.
But it's not the things. You think that it might be, but it's not the things. It turns out that there's a few, and you did something with, I think, Emily. And you guys were mm-hmm. talking about pick yep. 10 things.
Yep.
And that's kind of, and I hadn't heard that podcast, but that's exactly what we did. I said to the kids, just pick 10 things. I was so overwhelmed and I was crying and packing and just pick 10 things, you know, the yeah. whole thing. And that's what we did. And that was, and I said, we're not getting rid of anything. We're boxing and storing, because you're too young to know what you want or what
exactly.
you don't want.
Exactly. That's so wise.
And mm-hmm. the grief and the move. And I thought, we can't afford a storage unit. You can afford a storage unit. You think you can't. But mm-hmm. or you'll find storage somewhere you'll find it. But, and we've brought some of those things in, but if you're in that spot and you're trying to figure out, do I move? Do I not move? Do what's, you know, just really do what's right for your family. If you have little ones, it's a little harder, but my boys were old enough to be a part of those discussions. And I tried to be transparent with them through the whole time. So,
yeah. Sherry, is there anything else about your organizing journey or that you want people to know? Like, we've totally gone off script,
I know,
but I think
yeah,
it's going to be very meaningful for people. I think this episode, especially for anyone who is, you know, physically incapacitated or has lost a spouse, is going to get a lot of comfort out of this episode.
I hope so. Yeah, there's definitely hope. I would say, I think that what I wish I knew sooner, you know, I think as women, we're the ones that provide the help and we keep things together. Mm-hmm. And I was suddenly in this position that I needed help. I needed mm-hmm. rides, because right after my stroke, I couldn't drive. Yeah. I was not cleared for driving for many months after that. I was not allowed to cook. And there's a good reason for that, because I even caused a fire in my kitchen. The stroke clinic's like, cooking is off limits. So I had some great friends set up meal trains. This, for me at first, I felt not like, I don't want to say it was like ashamed, but I was embarrassed that I needed the help. Yeah. Because I was the one that organized the meal trains. Even if I didn't like cooking, I'd go buy something and bring it, you know, to someone's house. Cause I'm kind of like you, I didn't love cooking. Yeah. So I liked cooking from time to time, but not all the time. And that was one of the things my husband and I shared. We shared that responsibility of cooking. And once I was ill, he just took over the whole thing. But I was suddenly in need of rides. I was suddenly in need of meals. People were bringing me like grocery supplies, things like that. It was humbling. Mm-hmm. And I guess but there was no choice, because I was a mom and I had two boys and we had to figure it out, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's being willing to take help. Mm-hmm. is, and then seeking out information for if someone's mentally ill, seeking out information if you have either a chronic illness or something that, debilitates you even temporarily. I think that those things are really important, and there is hope out there always. Mm-hmm. And, just, you know, finding out who your people are that you can talk to, your trusted people, I think those are the biggest things, was that, and what this, and if you are someone that helps and you have a hard time, this helped me. Somebody said to me, if you allow me to help you, then that's a blessing to me, because I like mm-hmm. to serve people, and it helps me if I can serve. And some people brought their little kids, you know, like some of them were like my past students, and it was aww. Awesome to see them. Like they came over and they brought the meal, and they were kind. They were like, you always did stuff for us. Let us do something back. And, mm-hmm. you know, one of the parents wrote back to me, thank you for this chance to do that. It was a neat opportunity for them to see, you know, a life circle come around. And so now I see it differently. You know, now I see it like, okay, yeah, it is a circle, and it's not, you know, accepting help is just as important as taking help as giving help when it's needed. And that was a big epiphany for me. So my parents raised me kind of proud. And I was like, but pride doesn't mean that we're not humble and that we don't take that help when we need it. So yeah. I don't know if that's helpful.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Sherry and I think that you should come meet Sherry at Embrace, and you can hug me while you're there. So if we still have tickets when this recording comes out, I still don't know how to explain it, but I do feel like some of my closest friends now are friends that I have through Voxer or I've met at conferences, and they literally are in different time zones and different parts of the world, but I talk to them daily, and it's because we had a shared experience, a shared in-person experience. We're going through the same kind of transition or transformation together. And that's not always easy to find in your neighbors or, you know, whoever you're hanging out with. And it sounds weird, but sometimes it's easier to be more vulnerable at like a conference or in a Facebook group of everyone going through the same thing than with, you know, someone who's known you for 10 or 20 years.
Right. Well, and I think too, at Embrace, when you're kind of revisioning who you are, that's part of the process in the conference is like, what do you want to be? What do you, you know, like for me, it was like, what do I want to be now? Because I have no idea. Right. and what happened was, is I realized that sometimes people are uncomfortable around me, or they were at that time, but it helped me get comfortable with my story and being able to share it in a way that doesn't make people, it might make them a little uncomfortable, but that I've had people come back and say, I was super overwhelmed when you told me your story, but they came back to me later and said, hey, I have a question about this. Who did you talk to in this situation? And so I think as women get more authentic and honest with what their lives really are, I think that it's great. And so conferences are definitely a space where you can do that in a safe spot, I think.
Yeah. Well, Sherry, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a delight.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh. I could talk to you guys forever, and I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.